Coming to you from Google Cloud Next 2024 in Las Vegas, Nevada, I'm Billy Mitchell, Executive Editor of Scoop News Group. Thanks so much for tuning in. Today we have a special podcast recorded from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino on the Vegas Strip, home of Next 2024, with more than 30,000 attendees. For this podcast, I'm joined by Lee Palmer, Vice President of Delivery and Operations for Google Public Sector. During our conversation, we not only explored the top announcements out of the Google Next conference that are impacting the public sector, but we also talked about the top things she's hearing from public sector customers, the need to be more open and transparent on AI, and why security is still such an important topic in the public sector. This is one of many interviews captured at Google Next, so make sure to tune into the others released throughout this week. Now, without further ado, here's my interview with Lee Palmer. So Lee, so nice to meet you. Great to sit down with you here at Google Cloud Next in Las Vegas. How's the week going for you?
It's great. So as you can see, there are 30,000 of our closest friends here. So it's a little overwhelming, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, it's incredibly overwhelming, and I need a break from all the people. it's wild, but
so much excitement about Google. Can't beat that.
And I think there's nearly as many product and service announcements as people are here.
Because I hope you're keeping up with them. Can't keep up.
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot out there, and there's fewer of them that actually maybe make sense for the public sector. And that's kind of where I wanted to start the conversation, is let's try to maybe start with, you know, what are some of those announcements this week that have come out that make sense for the public sector that you would direct people in the public sector space to kind of say, this is what is the latest and greatest from Google that makes sense for your technology stack?
Well, you've already kind of scooped the news and written an article about our big announcement on Top Secret and Secret for our Google Distributed Cloud platform. Super excited about that. So we're really going to be able to bring the magic of Google to those, you know, missions that require the most high security levels. So, you know, lots to do there.
Yeah, that's the big one. And tell me more about that, because, you know, like you said, we wrote the article, but it seems like there's so much more to it that differentiates it a bit from what maybe some other competing cloud, high classified, top secret type clouds do. So tell me about what makes it different, and, you know, why, if you're a national security agency, a DOD, an intelligence agency, why you should consider GDCH as sort of the product to secure your workloads in the cloud.
So what I like to tell people is that sometimes there's a benefit to being third to market, right? So we could see what went before us and make adjustments for, you know, very specific mission sets. So what we did when we built and designed GDCH is we built that cloud from the ground up. Yeah. So instead of taking a cloud and trying to shrink it into a small form factor, we started with the small form factor and made it expandable, right? So open Kubernetes based, you know, very open source software with the idea of multi-cloud, hybrid cloud in mind, very customized for data analytics and AI at the edge, because that is our, you know, that is our sweet spot. That is what Google is really good at. And because you can do it in as small as three racks in a very small form factor, we can put it in your data center, we can put it in our data center, we can put it, you know, in someone else's, in a partner's data center. So lots of flexibility for that mission need between kind of that enterprise scale, that tactical scale, and then that middle scale of, you know, I need it to be in a data center in Germany, for example.
Yeah. And I was really trying not to talk about AI till later in the conversation, but
I can't come to Google and not talk about AI.
But I know a big part of the announcement was, you know, that it's integrated with Vertex AI and Gemini, and so if again going back to those DoDIC users or others who might, you know, look to that really highly classified environment, are they able to just now, you know, as part of GDCH, use those products and start to build AI into their integrations?
So there are core AI services available out of the box today with what we got accredited. We're going to be continuing to add services over time. You know, it feels like there's new announcements happening, you know, every day, every week. So over time, we're going to add more. But the notion is that you'll be able to process with your data in your secure environment, data analytic and AI tools, you know, right on GDCH. So language translation, search, document AI, you know, those kinds of things that our customers are, you know, really, really anxious to have, we're able to give to them. So very exciting.
Yeah, that's great. I actually talked to a CIO at a major university yesterday who was excited about GDCH, and that's not who I expected to be excited, but it begs the question to me, you know, are there non-DOD, non-IC, national security type agencies, like, because it's for the research, right, at the university. Are there other users that are, or that people that could get excited about this announcement?
The way we think about it is anybody with highly regulated data that wants to make sure the data stays in their environment, on their premise, you know, on their soil, would be a candidate or have interest in GDCH, right? Yeah. So we're talking to healthcares, banks, et cetera. You also, I think if you're at the keynote, heard the McDonald's example, right? Mm-hmm. So there's even this idea of Google Distributed Cloud, which can be completely disconnected and completely air-gapped from anything else, but it can also be connected. So McDonald's is using it as the connected case, where they want to have a small form factor in every one of their stores to push that data processing to the edge, but then it's still connected back to something. So you can think about, I was talking to the FEMA CIO earlier, you can think about a FEMA, kind of use case for that as well, where you don't necessarily need it to be air-gapped, but it could be air-gapped if the mission required it.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different functionality or different customization to, I'm sure it's not exactly customization, but you can kind of toy with it and do different things with it, which seems pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I think the other exciting piece, especially for maybe some of those more sensitive missions, is the idea that you may have it connected, and then if comms goes out and it's disconnected, your mission still goes on, and you can still operate, and then you can bring it back to life when your comms are
resiliency. I hear that's a big thing. Speaking about highly secured cloud and, I see a lot in life as sort of a pendulum, and I think cloud is sort of one of those where people, especially in the public sector, CIOs and such, waver back and forth on how they feel about security in the cloud and whether the cloud's secure. And there's a lot of examples in the news about major cloud providers, some of your competitors who are struggling with breaches and things like that. So I'm curious, are you finding that there's more sensitivity out there to security, or even maybe a withdrawal in some senses of people that are more worrisome about the security of their information in the cloud? Obviously, we talked about GDCH, which is totally, meant to solve that. But I guess in a more writ large sense, is there at all a change in how people are feeling about the safety and security of their data in the cloud today?
Yeah, I think the customers that we interface with, interact with, security is always top of mind, and security is always top of mind for us, right? So I'm biased, but I think that, we have best in the world security. And then when we purchased Mandiant, we just, took it to the next level, right? So we have, very robust security practices. It's baked into everything we do. Not going to talk about what, our competitors' side, but it's been tested and proven, and, you can go look at the data on hacks and breaches and all of that. What I will say is that I think the government is recognizing it at the beginning when I first came to Google, we were having the conversations. There was a lot of, but you guys are doing things differently. They have their checkbook and their checklist, and they're like, but this is different. Now they're starting to see, we understand why Google's doing things differently, and we're getting even more traction in wanting to do things the way Google does it. So I'll use, for example, the FedRAMP process, right? And I think it's well published that we went after getting FedRAMP Moderate, FedRAMP High on our commercial cloud using software encryption and logical separation, vice physical separation, because we don't think physical separation necessarily makes you secure, right? Yeah. We're starting to see with a lot of the new FedRAMP memos and stuff coming out, there are, there is language in there like, software separation is okay. It is a better way. We do want to look at our GovCloud, kind of architecture and model. So, I think Google is leading the way. May have taken us some time to get here.
Yeah.
But I think all you're going to see is acceleration, especially with everything that's in the press.
Yeah. No. I'm glad you mentioned that with FedRAMP, the sort of latest FedRAMP. It's still not
draft.
Yeah, it's a draft, but it's coming, and it pushes away from the notion of GovCloud and more towards that commercial cloud that you just spoke to. And why is that important? Or why we have seen those GovClouds, and it seems like maybe that's not working anymore.
Well, and I think when you really start to think about AI and you really start to think about the compute that's necessary for AI, you really have to start talking about global scale, right? And so the GovClouds, you just can't keep up with that global scale, right? So I think we see a lot of our competitors starting to do the same, you know, follow the same methodology of, look, if I'm going to do, you know, massive compute for training AI models, I've got to do it a different way. So super proud of the work the team has done. We just have to keep pushing that, pushing that forward.
Yeah, no, that's smart and that makes sense. You know, I'm sure you talk to a lot of public sector customers, and this is sort of just a very broad question, but what are the biggest challenges or needs out there in the public sector space right now that you're hearing most often? I'm sure AI is, you know, the one that everyone comes back to, but are there others that, you know, you see as a, I guess, a trend or a sentiment from that space?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge that our customers know where they want to go. I think their biggest challenge is how do we get there, right? They have a lot of, for good reason, security constraints, for good reasons, a lot of legacy kind of in their environment. It's different than approaching a commercial customer who may be cloud native from the beginning or digital native from the beginning, right? So they know where they want to go. They need help getting there, right? So Google's job is A, to meet them where they are and help them get there. But also we see ourselves more and more in this kind of advisory kind of conversation around the art of the possible and what if we did it this way or what if we did it that way. So we do a lot of, like, let's just get started. Let's just do a proof of concept. Let's just show what is possible, because not only do they need to prove it to themselves, it'll be doable in their environment, in their network. They have a lot of stakeholders and they've got to, you know, bring the rest of the organization along too, right? Yeah. From a change management perspective. So I think that's the biggest challenge, is not always the technology as much as how do I insert this new technology in this legacy environment and bring all that change management along with me.
Okay, that makes sense. You know, in terms of Google public sector's growth and sort of its, you know, scaling and things like that, I've been curious and asking a lot of folks on the exec side, you know, what do you see as the next strategic or even obvious areas that make sense for Google to expand in, and how is it going to continue to charge into the public sector market?
I can't think of anything other than AI right now, which, I mean, you know, I say that a little bit flippantly, but I don't think we even know what is possible with AI yet, right? So, I mean, we're just starting to scratch the surface, and we can see so much potential just in the use cases you saw up on stage around just language translation and search, like just searching in a government archive of just all this information, and how do I just get that information at my fingertips, right? So I think once we start to kind of get our customers comfortable there, and the manpower hours that's going to free up for them to use, you know, not do kind of routine tasks and use the human brain, what the human brain is best at, so we can start to really think forward as far as analytics and what is next. Right?
Focusing on the mission.
Yes, exactly.
So back to AI, you know, there's so much going on here and in AI writ large across the globe. But I'm curious, you know, in working with public sector customers, similar to that question I gave you about what are they talking about, what are they thinking about, you know, how would you characterize their feelings about AI at the moment? Are they excited? Are they skittish? Are they somewhere in between?
I'd say excitement and practical about the how, right? And so what I mean by that is, I think everybody sees the promise. I think the government's done a lot of good work on when is it appropriate and not appropriate, right, to use AI. But that idea that we can free up human resources to do what the humans are best at, right? So all, like, really excited about the potential. When I say practical about the how, there's just things like, how do I accredit and certify an AI system to work on, you know, when this is all new, right? What has the data been trained on? How do I know, like, there's no bias in it and all those? We're working through that with the customer, but they're asking really good questions, the right questions, and it's going to take some time. But, you know, I've seen acceleration in urgency on we got to get this done, as opposed to, whoa, wait a minute, I'm not sure whether we're ready for this in the next decade. It's definitely measured in months, not decades. But I do think that they're being smart about the questions that they ask.
That's good to hear. And I mean, that was my immediate follow-up is in more so not necessarily how they feel, but how do you on your side navigate that and trying to work with the customer and the public sector on trust, because they do demand a higher level of transparency and security, as we've talked about throughout this conversation. So how do you go about convincing a CIO, or convincing is maybe the wrong word, but working with them to kind of ease their concerns on that?
I mean, you said it with the word transparent, right? We just have to be super transparent about this is, this is where we are, this is what we can do, this is what we can't do, right? So we have a lot of conversations about, these are the applications we think it should be used for. It's not always right. You probably don't want to use it in these applications, right? But when we can start using it to automate mundane tasks so the humans are only looking at what they need to look at, I mean, I think it's going to increase job satisfaction too. Who wants to just translate thousands of documents, right? When you can push a button, have it translate, and then do the deltas, right?
Yeah. So so let's close out with just a non-AI topic to sort of cleanse the palate as we wrap up. But I like to ask this question to folks too is, AI gets so much attention. What are the non-AI topics that maybe deserve more attention right now in this space?
Yeah, so, I mean, in addition to AI, we're doing a lot of, well, first, I already mentioned it a little bit with the GDCH as far as kind of open platforms, open source platforms, being able to build it once, run anywhere. I think that's really important. But the other thing I think is really important, especially for our federal customers, is this idea of multi-cloud, right? So I don't think there's going to be a winner take all, right? And so we've got to have the ability to be able to access and store data anywhere and run tools that are needed anywhere, right? So we're having a lot of conversations around multi-cloud and what does that mean, right? So maybe the data is stored in somebody else's cloud and we're running our data analytics tools on it and we're storing data back into Google Cloud or whatever it may be. I think the government and the CSPs need to really open up that conversation, right? So it'll be best for everybody.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Lee, thanks so much for your time.
It's
been a fantastic conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah,
all right,
thank
see
you.
Ya.